Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Sanctions regime. The United States, the EU, the United Kingdom, all speaking of sanctions directed against the Russian Federation, the elite of the Russian Federation, the banks of the Russian Federation. I welcome Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, who has instructed me about the Russian banking system because he worked in the late 20th century to restore the Russian banking system from the depredations and inconsistencies of being a closed economy during the Soviet Union. However, now it is an open economy, and that means there are vulnerabilities. Michael, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much.
We've spoken of the Russian Central Bank watching these sanctions. I want to start with what I know to be true. The first iteration of sanctions mentioned two smaller banks. One of them was the military bank. But now these new sanctions from the U.S., from the EU, from the U.K., speak of large Russian banks. We know the ruble is down 10% or more. We know the Russian stock market has crashed. These banks, are they vulnerable to these sanctions? And is this persuasive to the Russian public? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. The first answer is yes, they're vulnerable. The second answer is no, it is not persuasive for the Russian government because they have very big, overarching global goals. And what happens to those banks is of secondary importance for them. And unfortunately, I have to agree with the Russian Minister of Finance, who said that we have sufficient foreign exchange reserves to bail them out. So whatever happens to individual banks, state-owned banks, private banks, as long as the Russian government and the Russian Central Bank command foreign exchange reserves, $638 billion dollars. They can bail out tens of billions of dollars with all the difficulties that individual banks would have.
Now we come to what you instructed me several weeks past. It was very helpful. The Russian Central Bank is in Moscow. It's on a street in Moscow, and it has a basement, and it holds gold, but not $638 billion worth of gold. And at the same time, the Russian Central Bank has digital connection to the bounty of its money, more than $400 billion. Therein, if I remember correctly, is the vulnerability. Please explain it, Michael.
As long as the banking system can be bailed out, it can sustain. But short of sanctions on the Central Bank of Russia, all other sanctions may not be sufficient because the economy can sustain it. The Central Bank owns foreign exchange reserves, $638 billion. And over $400 billion are not physical deposits or physical certificates. They're all digital. We live in the 21st century, and they're all electronic book entries on the computers of Federal Reserve Bank of New York, of European Central Bank in Frankfurt, Bank of England in London, etc. Only when those assets are frozen, as the state of war would require it, only then the Russian economy would really shaken in its foundations because it couldn't support the currency. The ruble will collapse. It couldn't bail out the banking system. The banking system will fold. And most importantly, within weeks, the economy, the real economy, I mean companies, I mean people who produce goods and services, they will demand dollars. They will not accept rubles. And there will not be enough dollars, and the economy will break apart. And this is a strong measure. If you really want to undermine the war, That's what we need to do. And we stopped short of that measure.
Yes, they stopped short, as I understand today. This is the second round of sanctions, and they talked about it can be more severe. That would be severe, but that would have consequences for Europe and for the globe. Is that correct, Michael, to collapse that confidence in the in the digital record in the Federal Reserve?
Actually, when assets are frozen, they are not confiscated. The ownership remained. The digital entries in the books on the computers mean only separation between ownership and control. So if someone imposes sanctions on me with my deposits with Charles Schwab, let's say, all right, I still own that money, I just cannot withdraw it. I cannot withdraw it until my behavior changes. If tomorrow I become a normal, law-abiding citizen, I can get access back to my brokerage and to my holdings. The same thing for countries. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York has over 200 countries' correspondent accounts which have certificates on the computer of United States treasuries. And those can sell and they can get cash only through the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. But they own it. So nothing happens to our banking system, nothing happens to our central bank, nothing happens to the global financial system if we freeze assets of one particular country such as Russia.
When we spoke before, it was only speculation about a catastrophe. The catastrophe is before us right now. The invasion of Ukraine, the violence, the shaking of European confidence and security for the last 100 years. We're shaken again one more time. So therefore, this measure of freezing the Russian central bank holding at the Federal Reserve and other banks around the world, is that something that they're now planning, or can you imagine them planning it? And the Kremlin must know about this. They must know they're vulnerable to this.
Not to my knowledge. The list of potential sanctions, the harshest of them included that Russians will be kicked out from the SWIFT, SWIFT. It's a society for financial transactions, which basically facilitates payments. That when they sell something, they can get cash for oil and natural gas and whatnot, or deposits. So this would be a very powerful measure. Nonetheless, some Europeans, namely Germany and France and Italy, they oppose it. And President Biden said that at the moment we're imposing only sanctions which are collectively agreed upon with the members of the European Union. So the next step, if this doesn't work, what we did today and what the British did today, would be this SWIFT, so this system of financial transactions. And President Biden said himself that the sanctions that we impose today, in a month or more, we will know whether and how they work. So it's not strong enough to have an immediate effect on the battlefield.
The Russian central bank then is intact at this moment, and it remains vulnerable to those sanctions against SWIFT, and that remains a debate. So the Russian central bank is being protected at the moment by European countries. You mentioned Germany. What did you say? Germany, France, and...
No, the SWIFT is protected. The SWIFT is protected by Germany, France, and Italy. And the central bank, to my knowledge, no one yet is talking about this measure. People are afraid to talk about it. I suspect, this is my speculation, I am not privy to any decision-making and policy-making. I suspect that our government and European governments do not want the real destruction of the Russian economy because they're afraid of the control of nuclear weapons. Remember the same thing that happened in August 1991, right, when the Soviet Union was falling apart. President Bush, 41, went to Kiev. We're kind of replaying history. He went to Kiev. He made this speech, which was dubbed Chicken Kiev, in which he asked Ukraine not to leave the Soviet Union. Why? Because of the nuclear weapons. At the time, Ukraine had 165 or something units of nuclear weapons. So now everyone wants, that's the problem. Everyone wants to punish Russia. Everyone wants to stop the war. At the same time, we don't want to destroy Russia because we're afraid of the chain of command. Tomorrow there is no Putin, and what? Who commands those thousands of nuclear warheads?
Michael Bernstam, research fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.